I'm so glad you're here. I'm excited about what God has in store for us in this 2015. Amen. At the end of the month, I'm going to be going during the middle of the week to spend a few days in solitude and quiet out in the hill country out near Brady. And did this last year, and it was so beneficial to me. I got to get quiet and get still and kind of plan out for about 6 months. And remember last week we talked about how some of us are planners and some of us are spontaneous. And for us planners, you spontaneous people, you drive us nuts. But I told you about how I hate to plan. I need to plan. I need a plan, but I hate to do it. But even more than I hate to do it, I hate not having it. So I'll do it. I'll do it. But today I want to talk to you about, really the title of this message is really a question. Who am I? Some of you have already asked that question this morning. You wake up and go, who am I? Who are you? I'm just going to leave it at that, okay? I could go on and on, but I would be getting myself in more and more trouble, so I'm just going to stop right there. Who am I? And sometimes we ask that question. Okay, sometimes it's because we don't know, we're confused, we don't know who we are right now. But sometimes we ask it at a deeper level, Lord, who am I? Who do you want me to be? Who am I supposed to be? And sometimes, like we're going to see today in the life of Moses, Moses asked, that's a big task. Who am I? Who am I to accomplish that? And we're going to see how the Lord answers that. If you turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3, we're going to be primarily in the book of Exodus today. I've got a couple other passages I'll share with you. But if you don't have your Bible with you today, we'll be putting it on the screen. But if you don't have a Bible, period, I got you covered. I'd love nothing more than to put a Bible in your hand. I've got several just for such an occasion. So, if you don't have one and need one, you see me, and I'd like nothing more than to put one in your hand so you can have it free of charge. Who am I? We're going to pick up in Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 11. Now, let me give you a quick little background. Moses, he was a basket case. Some of you have caught it. Some of you will catch it on the way home. But Moses was, you know, the Pharaoh put out a decree that all the babies were to be killed. So his mother hid him in a basket. You think of like a wicker basket. That's something, I don't know what it was like, but it was a basket. She put him in the basket, sent him floating down the river. And Pharaoh's daughter picked him up, raised her as his own. He grew up kind of in Pharaoh's home. Okay, well, then he grew up kind of in the house of Pharaoh, and his relatives and his people were being slaves, and he saw that, and he got upset one time and confronted an Egyptian who was beating one of the Hebrews and confronted him and turned into a ruckus, and he ended up killing the guy, buried him in the sand, and he took off because Pharaoh said, Moses killed one of my guys, I'm going to kill him. So he left, took off running, spent 40 years out in the desert. He found him a wife. He found a date. He found a date, and he was tending his father-in-law's sheep out in the wilderness. It's 40 years removed from when he left Israel. And he's tending the sheep, and he's wandering around one day, and he's up out in the wilderness, and he sees this fire over here. He says, wonder what that's all about. So he goes over there, and this bush is on fire, but it's not burning up. It's just, the fire just stays there, and the bush doesn't get consumed, and he's kind of puzzled by it. And here's where we're going to pick up. Moses hears the voice of the Lord coming out of the bush. And God tells Moses, look, my people, your people, are being oppressed. And I've heard it. So now, Moses, congratulations. You're the grand prize winner. You are going to be the man. And you're going to go and rescue my people out of bondage, out of slavery. Lead them to the promised land. And it's just going to be a fantastic ride. And you're the dude. And Moses asked that question. Me? Are you serious, Lord? Who am I? Here we go, verse 11. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt. And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and has said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt, and I have promised to bring you out of your misery. In Egypt, to the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, lots of sites, a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand. By the way, his hand is a mighty hand. I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed towards this people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor, and any woman living in her house, for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters, and so you will plunder the Egyptians. Who am I? Moses asked God, who am I? And I love what God says to him. He says, well, thou art Moses, the supreme commander, the wisest man on earth. He tells him, you're a great strategist, a mighty warrior. That's who you are, Moses. Is that what it says? It doesn't say that? Here's what got me on this passage. Moses says, who am I? God doesn't even answer his question. As if to say, it doesn't matter who you are. Let me tell you who I am. Because who God is so much better than Moses could ever be. So he says, who am I? He's like, whatever. Here who I am. Listen, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be with you. That's who you are. You are you with me. And that's what God wants to tell you today. Doesn't matter who you are you with whatever you've got and all the frailties and failures and all that stuff like we all do. But that's not all we are. We are that plus God, and anything plus God is awesome. Amen. I want you to hear this morning, who am I? Who are you? You're awesome. Not because of you, because we have an awesome God. Amen. Who am I? Doesn't matter who you are. What really matters is who God is. And God says, you're mine. And that is your identity. Who are you? I'm a child of God. Doesn't get any better than that. It's as good as it gets. And that's fine. That's as good as it needs to be. A child of God, that name carries a lot of weight. We're named after his son. Did you know that? Who is God's own son? What's his name? Jesus Christ. And we are called Christians. Christians. It means little Christs. Christ-like. That's who we are. God has even given us his name. That's who you are. Friend, if anybody ever tells you, or if you even have told yourself, who am I to do this? I'm worthless. I'm no good. I'm a failure. I'm no good at this. I can't. If you've ever heard those words, those are coming straight. I mean, they've got sulfur That lie has a stench of sulfur all over it because it came straight from the pits of hell. That did not come from God your Father, and that's not what God says to you. God says to you, let me tell you who you are. You're mine, and I am almighty, and that's who you are. You're a child of the Most High God. Divine promises are not often kept when separated from human duty, though. What did God say to Moses? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go. You're going to go, and we're going to get these people out of here. We're going to bring them. You're going to come, and you're going to worship on this mountain. And then we're going to go across this wilderness, and I'm going to give you a land that's flowing with milk and honey, full of all kinds of sight people. The Jebusites, the Hittites, the Phizurites, and the Bahulites, and whatever they are. A lot of people there, but I'm going to give it to you because you're my people. But there's a responsibility that somebody else had in the equation. And that's who Moses was. Divine promises are not often kept apart from human duty. And that's where you and I come in. We have a role. We have responsibilities. God appeared in a burning bush that was not consumed, proving to Moses that he was powerful. God told Moses that he had heard the cries of his people and he was about to liberate them from the land of Pharaoh. Now, Moses could probably believe that God could do that. I mean, he just saw a pretty fantastic... How many of you ever seen a fire that didn't consume what it was burning? Anybody? Yeah, just doesn't happen, right? Moses, from that, what we might think of a simple little illustration, it spoke to Moses. And Moses knew, okay, this God, he's got some power. He's got some power. And he could believe, probably, that God could do something great and mighty like that. This God, he could probably get the Israelites out of Egypt and bring them to a land that's flowing with milk. And he could free them from Pharaoh. But God did not bring Moses to this lonely, deserted, desolate place just to tell him the good news. He didn't come to say, Moses, sit down. I'm going to let you know a secret about what I'm going to do. And you're going to have a prime seat to watch it all unfold. And here's what I'm going to do. You don't have to do anything. Just sit there. That's not what he said to him. He didn't bring him there just to inform him of what God's plans were, and then he could just have a front row seat to watch it all unfold. He was calling Moses to action. Friend, if you're within the sound of my voice today, God is calling you to action. Who am I? That's who you are. You're God's instrument. You're God's action person. And it doesn't matter if you're 3-4 years old. Doesn't matter if you're 83, 84 years old, or even more than that. Doesn't matter who you are. Who am I? I'm too young. Who am I? I'm too old. Who am I? It doesn't matter who you are. It matters who God is. And God says, I'm calling you to action. Everybody, God's called you to action. Moses, he didn't really doubt the possibility of Israel's release. He wasn't surprised at that. He's like, yeah, this God, he could probably do that. It was a great task, but not for an almighty God. But what he did not doubt God's identity. The point of doubt for Moses was his own identity. Who am I? You see, he wondered about his own qualifications, just as you and I often do. Don't you think for a minute that I don't wake up almost every day and ask God the same thing? Who am I? I'm the pastor of this church, and there's lots of responsibilities, and people have expectations, and I've got a lot of, if I do something wrong in the church, and the church fails or falls, I'm responsible. Who am I? I've never done this before. Who? Don't think for a minute all those things don't cross my mind. You know what God tells me? Doesn't matter who you are. What matters is who I am. He was a shepherd in the wilderness, not a leader of a nation. He remembered why he had to leave Egypt in the first place. You remember why he had to leave? He murdered somebody. He had been in the Pharaoh's courts, and he knew how hard it was to get an audience with him, okay? God said, I want you to go to Pharaoh. Gather the elders, and y'all go to see Pharaoh. He's like, God, it just ain't that simple. We don't just go and knock on the door and say, hey, we're here to see Pharaoh, let us in, and it just doesn't happen that way. He knows. He's been there. He's seen the inner workings of the Pharaoh's court, he knows it's going to take something pretty strong and pretty miraculous just to get an audience with Pharaoh. Moses knew full well the difficulties that would come his way. What he had yet to learn, though, was that God knew him far better than he knew himself. God knows you better than you know yourself. God, who am I? Well, I'll tell you who you are. You're my child. He knows us far better. He knows our skills. He knows our limitations. He knows everything. He knows the number of hairs on your head. And for some of us, that might not be a big deal. But some of you, you know, like Allison, she's got a lot more hair than I do. But God knows her just as well as he knows me. He knows us. He knows you intimately. Even if you don't know him yet, he still knows you. He knows what your needs are. He knows what your desires are. He knows what you crave. He wants to be your craving. He knows you. He knows you better than you know yourself. God encourages Moses. He does. He encourages him. He says, look, the eye of Moses, who am I, was met by the eye of God. Who am I? Well, let me tell you who I am. Moses, that's not what I asked. I was asking about me, who I am. God was like, yeah, but let me tell you who I am. Here's who I am. He didn't even answer the question because it didn't really matter. God answered by telling Moses who he was. And he promised that he, this Almighty God, would be with Moses. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31, Paul writes, he says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who? Who could be against us? And that's basically what God was telling Moses. Doesn't matter who you are, I'm on your side. Mission accomplished. It's done. It's in the bag. Victory is ours. Not because of you, but because of me in you. In this time of doubt about who he was, God reminded him of who he is. And that would encourage Moses and empower him. And Christ basically said the same thing to us as he spoke to the disciples in Matthew chapter 20, verse 18. You might know this is the Great Commission. And he said, Matthew writes, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely, I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. You see, Christ tells us today, when you say, who am I? He said, oh, you're going to do great and mighty things. Why? Because I'm with you. I'm on your side. I will be with you to the very end of time. I'm with you. That ought to encourage us. It encouraged Moses. Now, he was still kind of fickle on some things, but God used him. He was willing and God used him. Are you willing to allow God to use you to accomplish something greater than yourselves in this life? God sure wants to. That's why he created you. He designed you for such a task. It's mine and your responsibilities to say, yes, Lord. I heard a preacher one time, he says, it's impossible to say, no, Lord. When God says to do something, it's impossible to say, no, Lord. They're incompatible. Because if you say no, then he's not really your Lord. There's only one response, yes, Lord. Or no, because you're not my Lord and I'm not going to do what you say. Now, when you boil it down to something simple as that, it gets kind of scary. God has told you, he's given you a vision or a plan to do something. And you say, no, Lord. And God says, that doesn't work. It's either yes or I'm not your Lord. And you think about the consequences of that and it gets pretty scary in a hurry. We need to see the greatness of the work before us. Moses sure saw it. That's what troubled him. That's what troubled him. And you and I, we encounter that daily. There's expectations upon us. There are tasks laid before us. And we see that, and it's insurmountable, it may seem. And we see the greatness of the task, and we need to see that. Because it it helps us to understand that this is something I can't do on my own. But what Matthew wrote down says that Christ will be with me. He will empower me and enable me, and he'll be with me till the end of time. That's encouraging. And if Christ be for us, who could be against us? If God be for us, who could be against us? Nothing. But that's encouraging. Moses certainly understood the magnitude of the work before him. And we need to understand that there's a tremendous work for us to do. Sharing, teaching, leading, and ministering to others. It's a noble work. And it's one that cannot be accomplished apart from God Almighty, from the power of God Almighty. We need to get a sense of significance for the work before us as Moses did. And verses 16 through 22 or so, through the end of that chapter, God gives Moses a glimpse of the future. He tells Moses that this trip won't be all smooth sailing, but it will definitely be well worth the effort. God wants you to know today that your journey, it won't be easy, it won't be effortless, it won't be always fun. But if we consider the significance of the work before us and trust in his power to enable us to complete that work, we will reap the rewards of a life well lived and leave behind us a legacy of faithfulness and one that honors our Lord and our Savior. So who are you? What is your identity? I will tell you that if you've trusted in the resurrection power of Jesus, then you are a child of God. That's who you are. Who am I? You're a child of God. You're named after his son, Jesus Christ. Who am I? You're the one whom he will be with for all of eternity. This is your identity. Not in who you are, but in who he is. Is he with you? Is God with you? Is he in you? If not, why not? Why not? He wants to be. If God is in you, what lies before you to accomplish? What lies before you to accomplish for his sake? God has got something. If you're alive and breathing here in this place today or listening on the internet, wherever you are, if you're hearing this message, and you're a child of God, what is it that is before you, that God has placed before you to accomplish for his sake? There's something. And don't tell me, I've already done all my work. I've heard this a few times. I've accomplished all that I can do. Now I'm just in retirement mode, okay? We don't find that supported in Scripture, folks. If there is breath in you, you've heard me say this 100 times. If there is breath in you, God still has a purpose and a plan for you. Who am I? You're a child of God. You're a child of God. God doesn't promise to be with us just for the company. He doesn't say, look, I'm going to be with you. That way you're not lonely. You got somebody to talk to and tell your troubles to, because it's going to be hard. And I'm just going to be with you there to kind of hang out. We're going to be buddies. And I want to be there when you tackle all this stuff so I can watch you and I can clap my hands for you. See, that's not what God says. God says, I'm going to be with you and will be in you, and because there's some things that you can't do by yourself. And I'm going to be there with you, and there's nothing I can't do. So you and me together, we're going to accomplish everything that I have said before you, as long as you listen and you'll obey and you'll follow my instructions. So where's the responsibility on that part? Who bears the responsibility for great and mighty things? Is it God? God's already said, I'm willing and I'm ready. Yep. Who am I? I'm the ready one. Or I'm the one that's not so sure about this. Who am I? Who are you? Your child's God. You're God's child. Little dyslexic moment there. You're God's child. And he's got so much in store for you. Listen, things that you can't even fathom and imagine, God wants to show off in your life for his sake and for his glory. He's with us to enable us to do something we could not do on our own. What are you working towards? What are you working towards in this life? or are you working? That's the question. If God be for us, who could be against us? And nothing can stand against the hand of Almighty God. And He wants to put that power in your life and through your life and accomplish some things that are just going to blow your mind. I believe this year, 2015, is going to be a life-changing year for some of you. I pray it's a life-changing year for me. I believe that with all my heart. And why do I believe that? Because I believe some of us are going to finally come to the realization, well, you know what? God's pretty serious about this. God's serious about this. And when He says He'll do something, He does it. Not usually. He always does it. Question is, do you want Him to do it through you or somebody else? You see, if Moses had just flat out refused, I don't know, God may have done like He did with Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. He may have just said, hey, well, I'm not giving you a choice. Or He may have said, okay, well, if you're not going to, I'm going to get somebody else. God will still accomplish His plan. He will still accomplish His purpose. He will still do His work with or without you. But for your sake, you would do well to be in His plan, to be part of the work. So you may be thinking, well, but I'm just not enough. Well, you're right. Congratulations. You've got it figured out. That's the truth. You are not enough. But you plus God is more than enough to accomplish anything that lies before you. Question is He with you? Is He in you? What do you mean by that, Brother Mike? It's very simple. It boils down to the simple gospel message. If Christ be in us, right? What's that mean? Well, who was Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus Christ? He is the atonement for everything you've ever done wrong. And He's the only way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. And that's the truth. You may hear it differently from all kinds of different places. Well, there's just, well, that's all a deception from Satan. The truth is what Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. The only way to get to the Father is through Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what I will preach until my dying day. I'll make no excuses for it. I didn't write it. I didn't say it. I'm just going to tell the truth. How do you come to Christ? He says, you just got to come and repent for what you've done. Recognize that who you are and the things that you've done and the things that you do are things that displease God. And because there is displeasure, because you've broken commandments and rules, God says there is death for you. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Who is all? That's me. That's also you. Every one of us have. The penalty, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. So when you come and you say, Lord, I recognize that because I have sinned, because I have done one thing wrong in my life, my penalty is eternal separation from you. I don't want that. I know you didn't want that for me. That's why you sent Christ as a perfect sacrifice for my sins. I receive that. I accept that in my life. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that for me, for being that penalty for my sin. I accept that. I receive that. I'm going to allow Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. I'm no longer going to say no, Lord. I'm going to say yes, Lord, because that's the only response. Lord, I will follow you. I will listen to you. I will spend time with you. I will get to know you because you know me even better than I know myself. That's what it means to surrender your life to Him. And then hold on to your seatbelt because then it's the best ride of your life. The Lord comes in with the power of the Holy Spirit and He begins to reveal things to you, to show you things, to enable you and to empower you to do great and mighty things, things that you could not do on your own. And I'm not telling you this so that you'll just, you know, the Bible's very careful. There was a guy named Simon. He wanted the power. He wanted the power of the Holy Spirit. He was willing to pay for it to get it. You can't get it that way. And when it comes upon you and you become a child of God and it happens to you, something special. Something special. Where are you this morning? Who am I? You need to answer that question before you leave here today. Who am I? And if you just don't know, you come and see me here in just a moment. I'll be standing in the front. Rebecca will be here with me. She stands up here with me because we're a team. We're partners. And it's quite possible that maybe somebody doesn't want to come and pray with this big, ugly, bald-headed guy, and you want to pray with somebody beautiful and drop-dead gorgeous like my bride. So we just had our anniversary, so I'm still bragging on her. But that's why she stands here with me. But listen, who are you? You're either a child of God or you're not. And you can't say you're one thing and be the other. It doesn't work that way. Who are you really? I know. Okay, maybe you know who you say you are, but here's the bigger question. Who does God say you are? Who does God say you are? Are you living and working for Him, allowing Him to work through you like Moses, obedient? Or are you saying, no, Lord, which doesn't work. It makes no sense. We're going to sing a song here in just a moment. We're going to stand, we're going to sing a song, and give you a time to respond. The altar is always open. You can come and kneel down just between you and the Father. The little prayer bench is open over here. If you have trouble, if you want to kneel, but you have a hard time getting up, you can use this over here. I'll be standing here. Rebecca will be here. Maybe you need to come and say, you know what? I've never really trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and the Savior. I don't really understand what that means. Will you explain that to me? I would love nothing more than to have that opportunity. Maybe you know what it is. Maybe you said you did that a while back, but really, if you look back over your time, it doesn't show. And maybe you want to start fresh today. What a better time, the first of the year. It's a great time. Great time to do that. Start fresh. Whatever your needs are, this is your time. I'd encourage you, don't leave this place until you've answered that question. Who am I? Who am I? Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we look so forward to what you want to accomplish in and through us in this next year. Lord, let it begin today. Lord, I pray that somebody has received this word, and which is a word from you, Father. I believe it's a word from you. I pray that somebody receives it, and it changes their life forever, beginning today. That today, 1-1-1-5, is the first day of the rest of their life, and it's a great life. Father, I pray that somebody is renewed today, renewed in their spirit, renewed in their soul, Father, renewed in their relationship with you. But Father, every one of us need to answer that question. Who am I? Have I been saying, Lord, I just want to watch. I don't want to participate. Oh, Father, change our hearts. Change our desires. Change our will to be saying, to say, yes, Lord, whatever you want, whatever you desire for me to do, I'm yours because you bought me at a great price. Father, help us to respond to you, not just here in this place today, but each and every day of our life. May we wake up every morning and no longer say, who am I? May we wake up and state emphatically, today, I'm God's child. I'm filled with His power and with His strength. He's on my side, and I'll do whatever He tells me to do. May that be our new statement of faith. No longer asking, who am I, but stating who we are in you. Father, help us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. You stand as we sing and you respond as the Spirit leads.